My wife and I and our friends witnessed this happening, which took place 10.2 miles from Desert Center, California, on the highway toward Parker, Arizona. The full account is given in Flying Saucers Have Landed by Leslie and Adamski. I was the first one to arrive at the footprints after the contact had been made. I could see where the spacemen had deliberately scraped away the topsoil in order to get down to a more moist sand that would take the impressions from carvings on the bottom of his shoes. I got down on the ground in order to get a close observation of the symbols. The carvings on the shoes must have been finely done, for the impressions left in the sand were clear, cut, well defined, and evidently of a high order of workmanship. The footprint symbols tell why men from outer space have come to Earth and what might happen if men on Earth refuse to live the universal laws of the Infinite Father. There are many, many meanings to the various symbols, and only a partial interpretation can be given here. We must bear in mind that these are out-of-this-world symbols. However, since the planet Earth is a part of the great totality, we can expect certain facts to remain. About 11 miles from Desert Center, California toward Parker, Arizona, L. McGinnis, L., George Adamski, R. Constant throughout that totality. Furthermore, in ancient times there was communication between the Earth and other worlds. The ancient symbols of Earth are the symbols of space beings, also. Many people have asked, if the space people are so intelligent, why didn't they just type out a message in English and hand it to you? That would be so much more simple than all this footprint riddle business. These people forget that a type cheat of words wouldn't be proof of any such contact, and besides, people like their riddles, it makes them think, and that's just what the space friends want. They made those footprints in order to arouse curiosity. George Adamski standing where saucer had hovered. Only a few feet from footprints. And through people's desire to know what the symbols mean will come realization. They will get in tune, so to speak, with the entire idea of visitors from space. Briefly, a breakdown of symbols shows the following. 1. Use of simplified pictography. Pictographic representation would almost be the same no matter where or by whom used. The forms used are definitely limited. 2. Use of simple dots and lines. These would necessarily be the same no matter what world they were used in. For example, A. Use of numeral 3 to represent triune God, head, body, soul and spirit, etc. B. Use of dots, smaller or larger as the case may be, to indicate planets and respective satellites. The author, far right, making the plaster casts. Mrs. Williamson, Bailey, McGinnis, Wells, L2R. Left footprint. Arrow points to toe of track. Compare with plate 4. How else could it be done? 3. Use of a footprint to convey desired message. A. After all, this would be a most simple way, because the marks left by the foot are ample proof of contact, and these same marks can be studied. Casts can be made of them, and photographs can be taken, etc. B. Also, the foot shape itself gives us a clue as to how to read the message. We know that in 100 walking we step on the heel and end of the toe. Therefore, in reading the symbols, we start with the symbols on the heel, proceed from there to the arch, and then to the toe symbols. C. Also, each footprint, left and right, is to be taken as a unit in itself. So, each one has a separate message to convey, yet, both are related in an overall message. D. We must also take into consideration the fact that the symbols that were observed on the ground are exactly the reverse direction of the right footprint. Arrow points to toe of track. Compare with plate Y. 101 symbols on the sole of the shoes making the impression of the prints. A mold is always the opposite of the original, etc. However, our visitor from Venus drew attention to the footprints themselves, not to the soles of his shoes. So, the spaceman must have taken this fact into consideration when planning the message and corresponding symbols. We are not to read the symbols on the plaster casts, for as stated above, They are the reverse of what should be read. In interpreting these symbols then, we must keep all these facts in mind, remembering them as they appeared on the ground originally. 4. Use of the so-called swastika and other symbols. The true clock of the universe is in the form of a swastika. It is the Big Dipper revolving about the North Star. Some of the other symbols represent the form of the star, grouping in certain constellations. How else would you show these heavenly bodies and their arrangements except by drawings of what they look like? These would, of course, be true universal symbols. Certainly the spacemen wouldn't give us symbols we couldn't understand. What good is a message if we don't know the meaning of it? The form of certain constellations would be different as viewed from other worlds, but space people would know what the form was that appeared to men on Earth. I made the plaster casts of the left and right footprint. From a preliminary study of the casts and drawings that had been made prior to the pouring of the plaster, a partial reconstruction of the original marks was made. Therefore, the drawings of the footprints as reproduced in the Phoenix Gazette of November 24, 1952 were not completely accurate. I had made hurried drawings from my field, notes for immediate publication in the paper. Later, I did considerable work on the casts and during certain tests many of the smaller symbols came to light. Anyone, searching through the world's oldest records, would come to the same conclusions as I have. I took several photographs of the events on November 20, 1952. 5 of these photographs are reproduced in this book. See Plate 3, Figure 1,5, p. 96. From the impression left by the left foot, we get the following interpretation. As the left footprint, see Plate 4, taken as a total, represents things spiritual and cause. B. In reading the footprint, we read from heel to toe, for when stepping we begin on the heel and end on the toe. Therefore, the footprint message should be read from bottom to see that which is represented on the arch's chief, principal or prime. The sign of the archer is also on the arch. D. On the heel we see a simple pictographic story. The 7 shaped figures appear to be like simple bird forms denoting flight. We see a tilted saucer in the shape of an open mouth, oval, symbolizing the fact that spacemen have a message to give to their brothers on the Earth. There seems to be a system of threes represented, 104, 1, saucer oval, 2, 7, shaped figures, also made up of two lines each, 3, 3 circles or dots. There is clockwise motion here as in swastika symbols on the right footprint. This shows that the planetary bodies represented are in constant motion. The planets in what we call the first, second, and third orbits are shown. 1. Mercury, 2. Venus, 3. Earth also. The 2-7 shaped figures seem to form an enclosure around two of the planet symbols and the oval saucer figure. This shows that these two planets are connected with the landing contact and personal interview, but Mercury is not. In other words, a spacecraft has come from Venus and made contact with Earth. The three circles or dots used to represent these three planets are drawn roughly to scale. Therefore, one can immediately see what circle represents what planet, etc. E. On the arch we see 9 separate lines drawn and used to construct the symbols here. The numeral 9 was assigned as the symbol of life force by the ancients. The esoteric meaning is, to revolve in circles or orbits. Here too, is undoubtedly the secret of saucer propulsion. The utilization of universal or cosmic energy. No fuel is needed, except the ideal fuel of the universe itself in the form of some type or adaptation of electromagnetism. The 105 three lines, above the arrow, like figure, represent the equation, 1 plus 1 equals 3. In other words, by adding the laws of attraction and repulsion we get manifestation or propulsion. The two upper vertical, curved lines represent the forward motion of the spacecraft, and since they do not meet, and can never meet, they curve away and outward from each other. This shows that the propulsion force is to be found throughout the universe. We also find a more spiritual message in the symbols on the arch. The arrow, like figure represents one whose faith is low. One whose spirit acknowledgeth the gift of spirits, but not the all person. The three horizontal lines directly above indicates that the spacemen have found three different types of people on Earth. One type believes only in earthly or material things, another believes in things spiritual, and the third has faith and believes in the All-Creator. Unless a man puts away the materialism that is in him, he cannot rise to the emancipated heavens of the Creator. Also, the two lines extending upward represent the upraised arms of a man seeking the universal prayer of mankind. The Creator has sent people from outer space to guide Earthmen as they free themselves from darkness and bondage. These spacemen, in the name of the Infinite Father, will raise up men with eyes to see and ears to hear. This message is therefore proclaimed to all the inhabitants of the Earth. Therefore, the left footprint shows that our brothers from outer space have come to the Earth. 106. Plate V. Left footprint. To let us know our own spiritual condition at this time and to show us how this condition can be improved. It also shows by what method they arrived here. The symbols in both footprints bear a strong resemblance to a crude drawing of a fish. We must also take into consideration the fact that a built up layer was superimposed on the flat sole of the original shoe. Since this section was added to the bottom of the shoe, it must mean that we are only to consider that part and omit the general outline and shape of the foot itself. When we do this, we immediately recognize the outline of a fish. See Plate V. In the left footprint, that which appears to be the eye of a fish, is also a geometrical figure known as Vesica Pisces. It is a rough outline of a fish itself, formed by two curves joined at extremities. It was held in high veneration in ancient times. In pictorial art, the Vesica Pisces is the oval aureole or glory within which the early painters depicted figures of Christ, the Virgin, or an apostle. It is an emblem that replaced the earlier figure, the fish or ichthys, and is found on the sarcophagi of the catacombs, in medieval symbolism, seals, etc. The broad arrow found here was also in use since earliest times, and was found on all ancient buildings. The fish was frequently associated with world saviors. Vishnu was expelled from the mouth of a fish. The Egyptian Isis is often shown with a fish on her headdress. Oan, the Chaldean savior, is depicted with the head and body of a fish from which his own form protrudes at various points. Christ was symbolized by a fish. The mysterious Greek name of Jesus means a fish. Ichthys, used in early Christian art as a symbol, because the letters of this word are the initials of the Greek words, Jesus Christos Theouios Soter, Jesus Christ, Son of God. Savior. Therefore, the first monogram of the Christians was a fish. Oan came out of the sea, was amphibious. He brought to the Chaldeans their culture, showed them how to build cities, and retired again to the sea. Quetzalcoatl, the Mexican Toltec hero, god, is represented by a whale which rose out of the sea, the old serpent covered with feathers who lies in the ocean. He, too, was amphibious and was known as the heart of the sea. And he, too, reputedly brought to his people their culture. In some ancient records, the planet Venus is symbolized by a fish. In connection with the fish symbol, we should consult the Holy Bible. In St. Matthew 12:38-41, we read, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and, behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Again, in St. Matthew 16:3-4, we read, "And in the morning, it will be foul weather too, day, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. As we continue to study the symbols of the left footprint, we see three bars above an arrow-like figure. If we consider the fish symbol here, it is interesting to read, Jonah 2-6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, the earth with her bars was about me forever, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Here we find reference to the earth with her bars. We consider the earth to be in the third orbit, so the three bars could stand for that fact. Also in Jonah we find reference to the earth with her bars was about me forever, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. So, too, we find the two expanding lines above the third bar going upward or outward, away from the head of the fish symbol. Also, remember, Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Feet themselves represent the natural, external plane of life in contact with the world, and the feet of the spaceman represent the contact and presence of space beings with Earthmen and the Earth. Planet. Swedenborg says that a fish symbolizes sensual affections, which are the ultimate affections of the natural man. Also, those who are in common truths, which are also ultimates of the natural man. Also, those who are in external forces. Their likeness to birds, swimming of fishes, flying of birds, suggests that fishes correspond to affections for intellectual activity. And what does the fact that they live in the water instead of the air show in regard to the kind of thoughts to which they have relation? Plainly the fishes of the mind enjoy a lower, less spiritual kind of thought than the birds. The water, which is their home, corresponds to truth of a natural kind, truth of natural science, of worldly industries, of the letter of the word, and of practical right and wrong. An interest in gathering facts of science is a hungry fish swimming in the water and devouring all the little creatures which come within his reach. And presently some larger fish swallows up our little fish with many others like him. So stronger, broader, scientific minds absorb the observations of smaller minds and deduce from them the great principles of science. There is in ourselves an enjoyment in grasping the broader principles of knowledge, which feeds upon our special interests in particular subjects. This is a larger fish feeding upon the little ones. The interest in knowledge of worldly affairs is also a spiritual fish, which feeds with eager appetite upon our observations of the world, and may, in turn, contribute to a noble interest in tracing the Creator's providence in worldly affairs. So too, an absorbing interest in the external forms of worship are fishes which may easily become food for more spiritual affections. But these same fishes, affections for gathering natural knowledge, are bad when they refuse to minister to the spiritual life, and at, tending only to the evidences of the senses, fall into many errors which they eagerly confirm. In Genesis 1:20, 21, 26 and Shem 8:6-8, we see that man on earth is supposed to have dominion over the fish of the sea. These can be the spiritual fish, affections, and man is told he must have control over them. In Saint Matthew 13:47-49, we find, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net, that it was cast into the sea, and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore, and sat down, and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth, and sever the wicked from among the just. In Saint Matthew 4:18-19, Saint Luke 5:3-11, Saint John 21:1-13, we see the disciples as fishers of men. They would also be fishers in the sense that it would be their duty and privilege to lift men up from the sea of atmosphere of natural worldly life into the air and sunshine of true spiritual life. Therefore, we see that the space people are now present with us on earth and are attempting to lift us up out of our present stricken condition into a fuller, more satisfying existence, by their guidance and aid. At one time the world was in the age of Taurus, the bull. The Egyptians worshipped Apis or Hap, a sacred bull. and a calf was worshipped by the Israelites in the desert during the exodus from Egypt. Then came the age of Ares, the ram. The men of David's time were shepherds, shepherds in the age of the ram. King David, Jacob, Moses, Cyrus the Mede, all these had been shepherds, and the Psalms speak of God leading the multitudes as if they were his precious sheep, fold. Then came the age we are just now leaving, Pisces, the age of the fishes. Each of these ages lasts approximately 2,000 years. However, each one is usually about 2,150 years long, and the passing from one such age into another is always accompanied by both external and internal storm and stress such as the world is now going through. The last change took place about 2,000 years ago when Jesus came on the earthly scene as the great Piscean avatar or teacher, and the new world that formed itself from that turbulent era and area was the Western Christian civilization that we know today. Since this great enterprise has worked itself out and fulfilled its mission, it is now drawn to a close, and the new age of the water, bearing Aquarius, is upon us. As a Piscean master, Jesus fed the multitude with fish. He walked on the water, his followers were fishermen, and as we said above, he made them fishers of men. Clement of Alexandria enumerates the fish, the anchor, the ship and fishermen as fitting objects to be employed by the Christians on their seals and lamps. These are all water, fish, age symbols. An early Christian drawing shows the church, in the form of a ship, borne by Christ amidst the storm and stress of life. Pisces is a rainy constellation, bringer of storms, and controls the fate of sailors. Since the time of Christ, the world has progressed along avenues that dealt almost entirely with water. For several hundred years, all of man's ambitions were wrapped up in the seas and oceans. He traveled by sails to the far corners of the world. He became a great explorer using the waterways of the world to serve him in his quest. The result was the discovery of new lands in the west, and new frontiers promised new life and new hope for mankind. The darkness and brutality of the Middle Ages was forgotten in these new, found lands, and man as a spiritual being leapt to the challenge of development. Until very recently, our great sources of power were nothing but water power. We had steam engines for this and that, we built great dams to conserve this power. Only a few years ago man took to the air, but he had always longed to fly. Primitive man had watched the eagle with envy. Man graduated as a shepherd, Aries, and as a fisherman, Pisces, and now he becomes a gardener in Aquarius, the new air age. This title expresses the kind of work that he has to do in his new role. Psychologists insist that the conscious and the subconscious minds stand almost exactly in the relationship of gardener and garden. The gardener sows his seed in the soil that he has prepared, he waters the ground, and selects a site upon which the sun will shine, but he does not try to make the seed grow. He leaves that to nature. Therefore, we speak the word but we leave it to divine power to make the demonstration. The dominant note of the new age then is spiritual development and spiritual demonstration. It takes mankind about 26,000 years to go through the class of 12 lessons about the Creator, which we call the Zodiac. We have gone through these lessons many times before, and we will have to repeat them in the future, but each time we go through the same lessons at a much higher level with a different quality of knowledge, for it is not an endless circle, but an upward-reaching spiral. The change we are now experiencing is not a change brought about by merely passing from one sign or age to another, such as happened in passing from Taurus into Aries, or Aries into Pisces. Our present change is not one brought about by a 2,000-year-plus cycle, but brought about by the ending of a solar year, or 26,000 years. That is why we are now going through a great upheaval, physically, mentally and spiritually. The left footprint, therefore, taken as a whole, can signify the Piscean Age, and that age has ended. For the fish is trampled underfoot. From the impression left by the right foot, we get the following interpretation. At the right footprint, see Plate VI, taken as a total represents things material and effect. Be in reading the footprint, we read from heel to toe, for when stepping we begin on the heel and end on the toe. Therefore, the footprint message should be read from bottom to see that which is represented on the arch is chief, principal or prime. The symbol here of three dots can mean, since, because, equals, result in, for the reason of. D. On the heel we see the clock of the universe going in a clockwise direction. In the center we see one circle, dot. This represents or symbolizes the creator, the infinite. The curved arms symbolize the four great primary forces. The arms project from the circle in the center, and being joined to the circle, they are coming from it. That is, these forces emanate from the creator. The swastika, popularly called a good luck symbol and one of the many symbols of the four great primary forces, was a favorite among the ancients throughout the world and still clings to the hearts of present Masonic, etc., humanity. Pythagoras on his return from Egypt taught that the numeral four referred to the great creative forces of the universe. The legend is that, at the command of the creator, the four great primary forces built the universe and all therein. They, the four great builders, their heavenly architects and geometricians, the four great strong ones, built the earth and formed its life. The swastika symbol evolved from the simple cross symbol, and both are among the most ancient symbols of earth. The swastika is the key to universal movements. Since four great primary forces were used in creation, and are now governing the movements of all bodies throughout the universe, these forces are working from west to east, and carry all celestial bodies in the direction of west to east. These forces by their actions cause the revolving bodies to continue their force, so that apparently the force comes from the movements of the body. The atomic element is simply a collector, carrier, and distributor of the portions of primary forces that have been handed to it. Atomic force does not obtain its energy from elements of the atom. By smashing the atom, the flow of forces through it is destroyed. The ancients used the flow, they did not destroy it. This power is the will and command of the infinite. The esoteric or hidden meaning of the swastika was known by the priesthood, and this meaning was not communicated to the layman. See Plate 17, 253. The swastika is an ancient sign in India and is sacred, for it was one of the body marks of the Lord Buddha and has a solemn meaning among both Brahmins and Buddhists. The swastika has been said to resemble the apparatus used prehistorically to make fire and thus represents sacred fire, living flame. Malani thought it was a symbol of the sun and seems to denote its daily rotation. 118. Or it may be lightning, the storm, the Aryan pantheon, benediction, good omen. The swastika is very ancient and widespread, for it was used in Crete, in ancient Rome, on Celtic rocks in Scotland, rock carvings in Sweden and throughout the Orient. The wheel cross, which is thought for Stone Age man to have symbolized the sun, is displaced in the Bronze Age by the swastika. American Indians of the pre-Columbian period used this cross for a number of purposes. The most frequently mentioned is as a symbol of the four directions which were important in Indian ritual. It has also been identified as a wind symbol, storm symbol, and phallic meanings have been attributed to it. If the cross pieces point to the right, it is a lucky sign; if they point to the left, it is an unlucky sign. In China, the swastika was the symbol of a benevolent society. The word swastika comes from the Sanskrit, and in Northern Europe it was called philophot. In China it is known as Wan. This is especially interesting because in the sources speak, 1,4 was a representative of the Cephanian solar system. And 1 is the Chinese word for swastika. Also notice the use of the numeral 4. Apparently, from the beginning the four great primary forces, called in the most ancient writings the sacred four, have played a cardinal part in man's religion. It would appear that most of the ancient theology was based on their workings, and many theological lines and divergences sprang from them. Another X, ample of God provided, man divided. Their sacred four are still very much with us. But just what are these four? Since the arrival of friends from outer space, it is possible to know the true meaning of this sacred number. The four great primary forces are static magnetic field, electro, static field, electro, magnetic wave, resonating electro, magnetic field. Ancient temples were dedicated to these sacred four as representative and symbolic of the almighty power of the Creator.